Hey everyone, welcome to the Enduring Churches podcast. My name is Trent Young. I'm here with my good friend Alan Small, and we do this to be an encouragement to those who are in ministry, leaders in churches, and we want you to endure. We want you and your church both to endure. And so, Alan, today we have a special guest. It's not just you and I talking. We get to have someone join us today. Who's that?
Well, we're very excited to have with us today Deanna Gibson. Deanna actually works with me at Creekside Community Church. She is our children's minister, and so she is our third staff person, our third staff person that our church has. And so she has actually been with us for 6.5 years or so, almost
7, almost 8.
See how fast I lose track. I'm getting old. So. Yeah, just don't ask me my anniversary date today either. So anyway, we are so glad to have her with us today. We're going to talk a little bit today about children's ministry, and we'll end talking a little bit too about how coronavirus has affected children's ministry, because it's been a really trying time for her and her specific role of ministry as well. So we are so glad to have you with us, Deanna. So why don't you begin? Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have a cute kind of like love story with me and my husband. I met my husband when I was 14 years old. We were just friends, and we got married in high school, and then we graduated, and my husband went into the military, and he was 17 and I was 18, and we lived overseas for 7 years, and we had 2 daughters that were born in Japan, and then we moved to Colorado, and we've been married almost 20 years this January.
Yeah, that's a heck of a story. It's not the story you commonly hear.
Yeah, I have teen daughters, and I'm like, that's not normal. So,
yeah, that's pretty amazing. And you know, I'm glad that you get a chance to share a little about that, and that you've been with your church there for that length of time, because, you know, as we talk about it, and we do this podcast because we want people to endure, and you've been there almost 8 years. That's really awesome.
Yeah, I really love my church family here. So I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. I love everybody here.
Well, that's wonderful. And I know that that shows up in the ministry that you do. And so is this your first time to do children's ministry there at Creekside, or had you done children's ministry before that anyplace else?
I was actually one of the children's ministers at my old church, and my main job was volunteer recruitment there. So actually I've been a paid children's minister for over 10 years. And, but I've always been involved as a volunteer in children's ministry back since I was like 15 or 16 years old. So I've been doing it a long time. And me and my husband, when we lived in Portugal, we would actually help teach the youth group too while we were there.
I think that's amazing. And I know that really doing children's ministry is a gifting and a calling. And so as you've been doing this children's ministry, Deanna, are there things that you, I guess, as you started out especially, and as you've gone along, that you did not realize, you know, about children's ministry that you've learned over the years?
Yeah. Well, I originally went into children's ministry, I thought it'd be more of like just the Sunday school teacher. And overall, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of programs and things behind the scenes. There's a lot of volunteer recruitment, as well as keeping the volunteers coming, because naturally people move and things change in their lives. And so I'm constantly recruiting and looking for those people that I feel will really love on the children and really express their love for Christ to them as well. The number one thing I didn't realize was that I'm going to be dealing with the parents probably even more than the children. And so it's very important to have that relationship with the parents, because the truth is, just for example, like a lot of things with technology, the kids can't really get on the computer or things like that. It's the parents. And I realize a lot of parents also expect the church to teach their children everything. Mm-hmm. And so I've tried to come alongside the parents and kind of mentor them into teaching them how to disciple their own children. And I really didn't realize that so many people relied on us as a church to do most of that. And so it's kind of exciting, but I feel like more it's sometimes more of parenting and almost family ministry coming alongside the parents and helping them as well. And another thing I didn't realize is that, like, for example, when my kids get to sixth grade, they move up to Pastor Luke, and those relationships still continue. You know, I just don't pass them off. They still go, "Oh, hey, Miss Deanna, I got my driver's license," or "Hey, Miss Deanna, I'm getting married." Yeah. It's kind of crazy sometimes, but it's really cool to see them grow. But yeah, I didn't realize that some of these relationships were going to continue through adulthood.
Yeah, those are special times and special relationships, and that's one of the cool things about ministry is the relationships that we get to take with us throughout our lives and the lives that we get to touch. I think a lot of times we focus on the ones that maybe get away or bother us, but at the same time we are really privileged with all the friendships and relationships that we get to build in ministry. So you mentioned one challenge in specific. We can come back to some other challenges, but let's talk about one that you mentioned, because this is one where I think you shine. I brag on you all the time about this, but volunteer recruitment. You are just good at that. You are much better than Trent and I. Trent and I talk about all the things that we do that we forget to ask people to help us with, but you're really good. You're really good at this. So what do you see as maybe the challenge, but also the opportunity behind volunteer recruitment?
The challenge is sometimes it's the same people who always want to volunteer, and you know, they volunteer in children's and they volunteer in worship and they volunteer with small groups. And then, you know, you kind of feel bad sometimes because you don't want to ask them to help again, but they are eager. Sometimes people see me coming and I think they turn around and run. But I think the best thing that you can do with the volunteers and getting new recruits is just having a conversation with them and just being open and constantly talking. I talk a lot. And so it's just getting to know them versus going, "Hey, can you do something for me?" Right? Like noticing their talents and their passions and things like that.
Yeah, I'll say one other thing that she does really well too is that she recognizes her volunteers really well. Deanna's love language is gifts, she gives that back to her volunteers. So she's always gifting them and thanking them in a very tangible way for what they do, and that certainly helps a lot in that process. But you know, I think that one of the things that she shows me on a regular basis is how important it is to ask people to help us with things. Trent, is that kind of a lesson you think a lot of us need to learn probably?
Well, yeah, I think that we struggle with this. And you're right, Alan, we both have talked about how we're not good at asking other people to help us. And sometimes we think, well, it'll just be easier for us to do it. One of the things I think is really important, and I see this happen a lot, I've done it myself, unfortunately, but we start talking to people about a possibility of service in the church. And the first things that come out of our mouths are, "Well, you know, this is going to be super easy and you won't have to put a lot of effort into this or a lot of time." And I think that's the wrong approach, when instead we should be saying, "Hey, this is a God opportunity and you're going to love it. It's going to take some time and it's going to be hard, but God is going to use you to bless people." And so, you know, don't try to talk people out of it and say that it's super easy, but instead show them how God can use them.
I also learned when recruiting, it's not always no. Like they may say no, but it could just mean not right now as well. So it's okay to reapproach that person and ask again down the road too. A lot of people think if they say no this time, that maybe in 3 to 6 months, they still won't want to help. But sometimes I learned at a children's pastors conference that your life can completely different 3 to 6 months. So, you know, always be open to going back to those people and don't take it personal. You know, if they say no, it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, they don't like Deanna or they don't want to be in children's. You just never know what's going on in someone's life.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. So are there any other challenges too? You know, you've talked about several of them. Any others that you want to just kind of add to a little bit?
For example, we had a particular program. I don't know if I should say what it was, but some parents get so obsessive with like that program that they kind of miss out on what are we really doing with our kids. We're really trying to teach them about Jesus and following God. And sometimes they're more about badges and stickers and things like that. And so sometimes that can be a little frustrating. We've had people come to our church and say, do you have this particular program? And if you don't and you don't implement it, then we're leaving. And that can be kind of frustrating and challenging. I think in my own personal life, it's kind of challenging to live in a fishbowl. And as all of us do in ministry, we always have eyes on us. And being the children's minister, it's sometimes challenging when my own children decide to act out or whatever. People think that because I'm the children's minister, my kids are supposed to be perfect. And that's definitely not true. But I'm sure you guys would go through that too with your own family.
Never. Never even dawned on us on that one. No. Yeah. that fishbowl thing is a little bit challenging at times. And you know, I'm grateful that you, both you and I and Trent, we have churches that are understanding and have treated our kids well over the years, because it sadly doesn't always happen. And the same true for our spouses. And of course, mm-hmm. your husband actually helps with our students. And I think that's pretty cool that he's involved in that way.
And just one more thing is I do struggle with some people thinking that children's ministry is babysitting and it really isn't. I mean, there's a high percentage. I don't know what it really is, but it's probably in the 90s where, you know, kids accept Christ. 90% of kids accept Christ under 18 or people do in general. And I'm like, this is not babysitting. This is preparing them and planting those seeds so God can grow them, you know.
That's a great thing to keep in mind. And you're absolutely right. Most people do accept Christ early on in their lives. And so, yeah, it's so important. I mean, even in the nursery, for them to be sharing the stories of Jesus and talking about God's love. I think you're absolutely right. I was going to ask you, Deanna, you've been in ministry now for, you said, over 10 years. And so you've seen the highs and lows of ministry, right? And
yeah.
So what are some of the hard things that you've had to go through in ministry?
Well, I think some of the hard things is just seeing people's lives, seeing people broken. One of the hardest things I ever experienced was I was at my old church and there was a woman that I was friends with, and I saw her every single day except for Saturday. Our kids went to the same schools and things of that nature, and she killed her children. And I saw these kids like every day, so that was really, really, really hard for me. But and for our entire church and community. But I learned so much from it. I learned so much about people being broken and about forgiveness. Yeah. It was a real big challenge for me to forgive my friend who is now in prison for life. But just seeing the hurt and the brokenness of people and being raw and close, it's pretty challenging sometimes. Or to see just people that you love just break. And people just don't know. I mean, I'm sure you guys get a lot of people confiding very big personal things to you. And sometimes I have such a big heart and I'm very sensitive, so it's hard not to let that impact me sometimes.
Yeah, you know, I think in children's ministry, and I think that's one thing we don't talk about enough with our children's ministers, is so many of the things that they deal with involve children. And that can be a really heavy burden to have to carry a long side in your life to know what some kids have gone through and what they've experienced in life, and maybe what their parents are holding in or what their parents have even done or this or that. And all those things are heavy. And sometimes you become the first point of contact for that. And so that's a huge, huge struggle, and certainly something that's really hard to go through in ministry. You talked about forgiveness, though. I think that's That's really cool, you know, that you would bring up that situation and talk about the role of forgiveness, because broken people do broken things.
That's absolutely right. And so, Deanna, I know that you've gotten to be, and all of us in ministry, we get to be counselors. You know, maybe we're not licensed counselors, but we get to serve in that role. And I'm glad that you've gotten to do that for a lot of kids over the years and for their families. You mentioned that before, and being a counselor or ministering to the entire family. So I wanted to ask you though, Deanna, also, you know, we talked about hard things, but are there rewarding things in children's ministry?
Oh yeah. It's just so exciting to see like kids accept Christ. Like every time we go to camp, if some kid accepts Christ, or even here at the church, I just bawl like a big baby, like every single time. It's just the most beautiful thing that you can kind of see, especially when a kid doesn't know Christ, and then you get to see that walk and how they change and their passion and then following through with baptism. And I've got to actually assist Alan on a couple kids' baptisms, and it's just so exciting, and it's totally worth everything to see that and to experience that. It's also pretty cool. I've had some kids where they really brought their parents to Christ, and they're the ones who are asking to go to church, and they're the ones asking, can we read our Bible? And it's just amazing. And I feel like I'm really blessed to be in that kind of position.
Yeah, there's a lot of neat things that go along with children's ministry. And, you know, I can think back, and Trent, you've shared in your testimony the importance of people at church who would take their time to invest in you. And really, when we work with our youngest ones from the nursery up, we're investing in eternity, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the biggest things for us to keep in mind in all of the ministries. And it's really easy to see, Deanna, in your ministry, that you really are investing in the future. You know, you think about some of those kids that have come through your ministry that literally could change other people's lives and touch people's lives for generations to come. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool to see kids tell people about Christ too, because they have like no filter. They're not scared. They're just like, hey, do you know Jesus? Let me tell you about him. Like, it's just so awesome to see where, as we get older, we get a little bit more nervous, or we're not sure how to approach things, but the kids just lay it out there. They're just 100% honest.
So let's kind of shift gears just a little bit. Where's children's ministry going? Because I think you've been in a great learning process on this, and you've actually kind of trying to, for a smaller church, trying to keep us on the front page of children's ministry.
Yeah. So I feel, and I believe with all my heart, children's ministry is turning into family ministry. Just the way that our culture is changing and the way the family dynamic is, I can tell you that I talk to just as many parents as I do kids right now. Me and Luke work really well together. And, you know, as kids move up to him, I just like inform him of like, hey, this kid really struggles with this, or this kid's really blessed in this talent. And I feel like there's not really a separation anymore. And just being here at our church, many women that their kids are even grown or something, they'll come to me and they want to be involved in kids and other people's lives. And I just feel like it's more of a blending ministry now. It's not as separated, at least at our church, with women and children's and youth. Like there's a lot of overlapping right now.
Yeah, I think that's an important trend. And if we're not paying attention to it, a lot of churches are going to miss it. But I think it is important, because I think it's how people relate to the church holistically from a whole family standpoint today. And I think that there's a shift in what we're seeing. People want less programs and more relationship. And yes. And Trent, I know it's kind of weird to talk about family ministry. Is that something you're hearing, you know, in your part of the world, or is that still kind of a new concept where you're at?
I think it's true pretty much everywhere. And one of the things I think that proves that is that, you know, there are young couples, people that are like college age, or they're just getting married, and church really doesn't register on their radar until they have kids. And then it all of a sudden becomes really important. And so that whole family thing, I think, is absolutely right that Deanna shared. And you know, for us to keep in mind that, you know, that is such a big deal that as families, especially young families, they want to do church together. They want to have that relationship together. And to give them that opportunity, I think is great. I really think that's awesome.
Yeah, I do think it's one of the points where maybe our seminaries are a little bit behind in seeing how there's more and more churches that are looking for someone who can kind of oversee a ministry from children to students. And I think that's going to continue to be a growing trend, especially on the other side of all the coronavirus stuff. So, you know, I think there's some huge challenges for us to consider there.
Yeah. So, Deanna, I want us to ask you another question here. And you mentioned that you get to share information between, you know, you and Luke and all that. How do you begin that connection with kids so that you can get that information and be able to share those things later on?
Again, a lot of it is having that relationship with the parents. The parents are the ones usually will come to me and kind of say, hey, my kid really struggles with this or that, or they're going to have a very hard time sitting down the whole time in class or things of that nature. And just plugging in and asking questions. It's okay to ask questions. And coming along my volunteers and them saying, hey, how's it going? How is Johnny? How is Sarah? You know, how are these kids? And, you know, the teachers are really involved in going, hey, you know, we had a good day or we had a rough day with this situation, and just being open and really keeping that communication with the parents as well as their teachers, so that I can make the right choices or adapt things and inform Luke. You know, he gets a big group of kids once a year, and sometimes he's not sure if any kid has particular struggles or music abilities or wonderful, you know, there's positive things too. And so I just like to sit with him once a year and go, hey, you know, these kids are coming to you and so-and-so is great at this and so-and-so struggles with that. And he's really appreciative and he can come alongside and kind of make sure that he's talking to the parent as well and making that child feel comfortable with the transition.
Well, and Deanna, one thing you said, I really want to, I guess, make sure that we catch that. You don't just share the negative, and it's typical that sometimes, you know, we can look at just the negative of a kid. Oh, this kid is there's a real problem in this and this, you know, and sharing that with the youth minister. But instead, I really love that you share, hey, this kid is gifted in this. This kid could be involved in this part of your ministry. I think that's awesome.
The kids are just great. I just love them all. I love all of them. And so I do try to get to know every single one. And so does Luke. Luke is great. And he's really receptive. And then he gets excited and he plugs them in where he thinks that they're going to do really well.
Yeah, we have a growing number of students that are serving, and I think a lot of that is those who have gone through our children's ministry and have kind of moved their way up and see their responsibility in the church is to be highly involved. And we know that engagement is a huge reason that many of them will stay involved even after they graduate high school. And so I think it's great to get our students plugged in and involved as much as possible. And again, we're being short-sighted if we don't think that starts before they ever hit our student ministry. So I think that's really a really powerful thing. So let's kind of move on to modern ministry.
Okay.
Because we are in hard times, and you and I have had some conversations about the struggles we have at times feeling like we can't do our jobs to the standpoint that we want to, whether that's you can't be around the kids as much, or we can't make hospital visits, whatever it is. Ministry's changed a little bit because of coronavirus. So let's talk to us. What are you learning through all of this stuff?
I am learning to reach out and ask for help and to ask questions. I'm a part of another group of children's ministers, and we bounce ideas off each other. And the big struggle for me right now is that everything is online, you know, and so the parents and a lot of people are watching the sermons online, which is great, but the kids aren't really getting at least I haven't noticed, and it's at a lot of other churches, they're not getting that connection with their Sunday school teachers and with their main children's pastor. And it's unless the parents log them in and turn it on, it doesn't happen. And so that's kind of hard for me to connect with the kids. And so I've been thinking outside the box, and, you know, I'm working on writing every single family with children a postcard and just going, hey, this is Miss Deanna. I love you. I'm praying for you. I miss you. And just keeping that connection open, because they aren't checking their emails. Some of them aren't even old enough to have emails or can get on the computer. And so, and just reaching out to those parents again and going, how are you doing? Can I do anything for you? Are you okay? Do you need anything? What can I do for you on Sunday mornings when you're sitting on your couch with your kids? Is there something I can do to add to that? So I feel like just kind of thinking outside the box has been a little bit of a struggle, but I am working and I am asking other people, and it's okay to go, hey, we don't know what's going on. What's working at your church, you know? So I think it's going to be a good way to stretch our brains and to think outside the box, even though it is quite a struggle sometimes.
Yeah, because, you know, people who are listening, your churches are open to varying degrees, and that involves probably anywhere from 25 to 75% of your normal attendance, which means you're missing volunteers, you're missing families, you're missing kids, you're missing an awful lot. And just like we've talked about, flexibility is the key. It's not always coronavirus. We were planning an event this Sunday night, and yeah, we've got a snowstorm coming in.
So we adapted.
So we're doing what we do, and we're flexing just a little bit. And that's really part of what ministry is all about, is to flex that. And, you know, with the coronavirus too, it's taken a big toll on all of us emotionally. So how are you trying to avoid kind of that ministry burnout that so many are facing in this time?
I'm relying on a lot of people at church, friends and family, and just kind of even just talking about it really helps sometimes, you know, like just talking it out and getting some of that frustration out. But yeah, it is a challenge. It's very hard. And it's hard not to be burnt out when some of my volunteers haven't come back yet. I don't know if they're going to come back just because of the coronavirus. And so I've tried to sometimes do a little too much and take over things. And so there has to be a balance, and I'm still kind of learning and working on that.
Well, Deanna, you mentioned a minute ago that you're part of a group maybe it's an online group of other children's ministers. And so I wanted to ask you if there was any resources like that that you could share with somebody who might be listening so that they could be encouraged.
Yeah. One of the main ones I actually use is, it's on Facebook. It's just Children's Pastors Only. That's what it's called. Only Children's Pastors Only. And we just get on there and we brainstorm, and it's great. It's a big group of people. So sometimes I get so many messages, I can't even read them all. So it's great. And I contribute, and we go back and forth, and even talking to the local churches in my area. I have called some of the churches in the area and even my old church and bounced ideas off of the children's pastors there and going, what's working, what's not working, you know? We're all on the same team here, even though we're in different locations.
I think that's good to keep in mind. And I know that there, especially, you know, there's a lot of small churches that don't necessarily have a paid children's minister, but they've got somebody who's working very hard to make sure that things continue in children's ministry and with the kids that they have in their church. And so, you know, we want to encourage you guys with that. And Deanna, make sure if you come across some great resource that pass that on to us, and we'll post it as well.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, Deanna, I want to say thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. You're a blessing, and I know you're a blessing to your church there in Colorado, but today you've gotten to be a blessing to more people around the nation, and so thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, we appreciate everyone listening today. I know that this has been encouraging to you, especially if maybe you are that children's minister or you're involved in some other part of ministry that's not the pastor. And all of those parts of ministry are so important, and we recognize that. And that's why we do the Enduring Churches podcast. And so we want to ask you to do us a favor, and that is to like Enduring Churches and share our posts and our podcast with other folks so that we can be an encouragement to more people. And if you're in a position where you could use some encouragement, maybe somebody to walk alongside you, we ask that you get in touch with us. You can go to enduringchurches.com. You can connect with us on Facebook, and you can also email us. Alan's email is alan@enduringchurches.consulting, and my email is trent@enduringchurches.consulting. And we appreciate so much your time. Thank you for listening today. And if you have ideas, please contact us. We'd love to be an encouragement to you. Thank you again for listening.